What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Spence's Two Cents podcast. Very excited to talk to you guys here again today. Very, very deep topic here today. Abortion. Roe v. Wade is obviously on everyone's minds, and whether you are more conservative or liberal or in the middle, regardless, it's a very polarizing topic that doesn't have just one answer. There's no absolutes other than that statement I just made in this world. And I think it's very understand that there's black, there's white, and then there's a ton of different shades of gray. And as you all know, this is a very polarizing topic, a topic that whether you're male, female, non-binary, whatever it may be, it's very important to discuss and to have open dialogue on how to best handle these complex issues in such a divisive world. So one thing I'm very excited about today is I haven't had a guest in a while. It's been, honestly, I think 3 years now, maybe even a little over 3 years. And I have my special guest, Anna, and someone that I've been, friends with for a while now. And we used to actually date back in the day. And this, the podcast came to be is because I was thinking about a little bit of, you know, current topics and someone that had told me a story that really changed my perspective on the whole pro-choice versus pro-life. I actually used to be pro-life, grew up being pro-life, and my perspective has changed, and I'll kind of break it down within the podcast. But without further ado, I want to welcome Anna here on the podcast. Anna, are you on?
Yeah, hi. I'm excited to talk about this.
Yeah, thanks for jumping on. I appreciate you you taking the time. I know this for you is very near and dear to your heart, and there's a lot of people that probably are wondering, you know, either they're doubling down on their current stance, whether it's pro-choice or pro-life, or they're open to the idea of possibly reconsidering their position. And so I wanted to invite you on.
Yeah, so it is personal, and I don't get the opportunity to talk about it that much. So I'm excited to share my story, and yeah.
Awesome. No, that's great. So I'll kind of set it up for you guys. So a while back, Anna and I, we went to like Denny's or IHOP or something, and I knew that she dealt with this experience firsthand. She told me this very intimate story, and I just want to say once again, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing this. So, you know, kind of tell me first and foremost, tell the audience where you stand on the whole pro-choice versus pro-life. And then kind of go into the backstory of maybe even where you started and then how you got to where you are right now and kind of a little bit about your experience and what kind of, made you who you are today.
Yeah. So I, same thing, grew up in a conservative religion. And so I think everyone that grows up in that religion grows up pro-life. And I grew up that way, was very firm believing. I was about 20 years old, and I was actually preparing to go on an LDS mission. And as your parents might say, when a boy and a girl get together and they're bored, things happen. And well, that happened, and I ended up pregnant.
And real quick, sorry to interrupt, Anna. Yeah. Who was this person?
It was just an old friend that I had been friends with for like 6 years. Nothing ever happened between us. We were just friends, and one thing led to another, and that happened. I was living in Alaska at the time. I had come back to Utah to visit, and it happened during that visit. And so I was in Alaska. I lived there with my family before I found out I was pregnant. And I remember I lived in a super small town. I had just gotten out of a relationship there, and that town talks. And so I was like, I think I'm pregnant. I need a pregnancy test. And a close friend of mine up there, she bought them for me because no one really knew her. She was only there for the summer. And so she went and bought the pregnancy test for me, and I took both of them, and I just remember freaking out. And it wasn't freaking out in the sense like, I don't know how to explain it. It was just like, I am gonna die. And I think those feelings happened because I was supposed to go on a mission. I was supposed to be this good Mormon girl, and here I was pregnant outside of wedlock and an adult. I was 22 when I had him, and the first thing in my brain was, I can't tell anyone about this. I have to get an abortion. Like, no one can know this. And I've always, even growing up in the church, I've always been like, God knows my heart. Like, mm-hmm. I was like, if I have a baby, I'm going to hell. Like, I'm not coming back from this. Like, I felt like my life was over, more in a sense of punishment, not because of having a baby, because I don't feel that way. I don't think your life is over once you became a parent. But like, in my young brain, I thought that my life was over. And so I told the dad, and he also was like, and he was like, well, what do you want to do? And I was like, I can't have a kid. And he's like, okay, so abortion. And that had never crossed my mind because I had never been in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought, okay, you know what? Like, abortion is my best option right now.
So sorry to interrupt, but one quick question just to unpack that. So when you said you felt like, you know, your life was over, was that more from a financial perspective, a religious perspective, a, you know, personal growth perspective? Like, where was that? Where were those feelings coming from?
It was most definitely a religious background. Like, now that I've had time to process it. So to give everyone context, I was 22 when I had him. So I was 21 when I was pregnant, and had just barely turned 22 when I had him. And now I'm 29, almost 30. So I've had years to go to therapy.
Over, yeah.
Really be one with my decision.
Mm-hmm.
The process of the decision that I came to.
Mm-hmm.
And because even though I was young, I think that all those things, like you were saying, financial, personal growth, you have to go through those things to know what you can take.
Mm-hmm.
And religious background, it's so black and white of like, this happens and you're going to hell.
So if you felt like, and correct me if I'm wrong, just to kind of recap, so you felt like your life was over from a religious perspective, in that if you had the baby, what would happen? Like, that you would be shunned, that you wouldn't be loved? Like, elaborate that if you don't mind.
Yeah, so I think it was not necessarily shunned, but it was just the whispers behind backs of like, who she wasn't dating anyone. And I think the fact that it was like a one night stand, and that happened. So I think it was just a culmination of everything of, okay, I was taught that if you have sex outside of marriage, then you're going to hell. It doesn't matter like if you repent or whatever. Somehow in my brain, I got it stuck. And I know that's not what the church teaches, but that's how I felt, because isolating the church can be. And
right.
Yeah. So financially, I feel like I could have worked it out. Of course, I wasn't ready financially to be a mom, but I could have worked it out. Personal growth, I wasn't ready to be a mom, but I would figure it out. But the religious stuff, I just felt like I couldn't come back from it.
Right.
But I also felt at that point like, okay, well, I'm already going to go to hell because I had sex outside of marriage. So what's an abortion? Like, I'm already going, so might as well.
Right. So you, obviously, you know, you felt like you were going to hell, and you said you were considering an abortion. Kind of, you know, tell me a little more about that, like what that consisted of, and why you were, I guess, considering it, you know?
Yeah. So I think at that point, when you're put in that situation, it's easy. Your life flashes behind, like in front of your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And getting an abortion, I looked into it. I was like, it's not a baby. Always, even growing up in the church, I've always kind of been more liberal, more open, just because of my depression. I'm like, you can't judge anyone. Everyone always thought that I was so happy, but I was mentally struggling.
Right.
So it was more of, okay, well, I know science enough to know that this isn't a baby. I could live with it. So I called Planned Parenthood in Anchorage, Alaska. I found out I was about 7 or 8 weeks pregnant at that point when I called them, and they didn't have any appointments for like 2 or 3 more weeks. And so me and my friend that had bought me the pregnancy test planned a trip to Anchorage for me to go. And that was the plan, was I was going to get an abortion, and that was it. And then about, I think it was the day before, it was either the day before or 2 days before, where I just had the worst panic attack of my life, still to this day, worst panic attack, just in my head, knowing that I couldn't survive if I got an abortion. Like, I felt like with my depression and how bad my depression gets, I would have killed myself because of that. And so it was that personal for me, because I know that that's, I am very pro-choice now. It's your body. You can do whatever. Some people can live with it, but I also am very firm of, I think the people getting abortions, I don't think that they just forget about it like it never happened. I think that they live with it every day. And for me, it was something that I couldn't live with every day. I questioned myself a lot. And so I couldn't live my life questioning who that could have been, like who that baby could have been. So in that moment, that was when I finally told my parents, because my mom, I had woke up in the middle of the night with the panic attack, and she came, and she, it was like a Sunday morning, and she came in, she's like, oh, I saw your light on. Does that mean you're coming to church with us? And I'm just crying. And I had written 2 letters to my parents. So one for my mom and one for my dad, because I felt like it was going to be a disappointment to both of them for different reasons. And so I couldn't just combine one letter. I need to write it to both of them, because they're individuals and they have different thoughts.
Yeah.
And so I just kind of shoved the letter at my mom, and she, and I'm in the fetal position, bawling on my bed, just, I can't breathe. And she, I don't know how much of the letter she actually read, but she just like rubbed my back, and she was like, I knew, I just didn't want to say anything to hurt your feelings. And I'm just like, how did my mom know I was pregnant? But that was the beginning. And it wasn't like super fast. Obviously, I went through a million different scenarios in my head. And the next day, I called the dad and I just said, I can't get an abortion. And he was just like, okay, well, what does that mean? And at that point, I didn't know. I didn't know if that meant keeping the baby or adoption. I had no idea. And so I started, I dealt with the decision that it was going to come to me of what I should do. Like, I really felt strongly like I know myself enough to know what I need to do.
Right.
And so I started looking at adoption sites, just different ones, and finding families that could potentially, and kind of wrapping my head around adoption, but also in mind that, okay, you're pregnant, you're growing this human being, and maybe he's yours forever.
Right.
And about, I was 5 months pregnant when I decided, okay, I'm gonna go the adoption route.
Right. Real quick, and sorry to interrupt.
No, fine.
With, when you mentioned you wrote the different letters for your parents, how did your parent, I mean, I know you mentioned how your mom reacted, but overall, between your mom and your dad, I mean, how did they react? I mean, were they, obviously, you know, because of the religious upbringing, they probably weren't super excited about it, but were they supportive? Did they show love? Did they support you either way that you went, whether the abortion route or the adoption route?
So they were really upset that I would ever even think about abortion. And I think now, just conversations that we've had, I try to just make it understanding of the pressure that they and the church kind of put on me.
Uh-huh.
And how that made me feel, and in regards to the abortion. And so I think my mom's more understanding. My dad is a quiet guy. When he found out, because he found out later in the day, because he was branch president, actually. So he was already at church in a meeting.
So he was like a leader of the church, right, in that area?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so my mom was just like, you're going to tell your dad when he comes home. Like, that's just, and so I told him, and he just went straight to like, who's the guy? And my mom was just like, that does not matter right now. Your daughter is telling you that she is pregnant. Like, this this is a bigger issue than who is the guy. And my dad was also adopted. So going the adoption route really changed. He grew up not wanting anything to do with his birth mom because he was told stories that she was not a good person.
Okay.
So he grew up not wanting anything to do with her. I remember one time when me and my mom were talking about it. We were in the kitchen one day. We were talking about it. My dad was in the living room or something. And she said, do you want an open adoption or a closed adoption? And I said, I think that I can only do an open. I can't just forget. And like, I'm making the choice of adoption. I knew that one day I'm going to have to answer the questions that this child will have for me.
Yeah.
The responsibility that I have to take as being a birth mom. And my dad said something to the effect of like, why do you think he'll want anything to do with you? And it broke my heart in that moment. But I also understood where he was coming from, because he didn't know about birth moms.
Right. He had a bad experience, right? Always
bad. And I think that's how a lot of people look at adoption. I don't think people look at adoption of like, here's this human being that's just not ready. It's always teenagers getting pregnant, or it's someone who's addicted to drugs.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't see a 22-year-old healthy overall, like, being a birth mom. And so I think me being as open with my family about my feelings and everything about adoption and the whole story, my dad has actually come around to, he has found his birth mom. He did a DNA test. And
Oh, nice.
He found a cousin, and she was like, your mom is actually in a home, and he plans on meeting her this year, next year.
Mm-hmm.
Just still had to wrap his head around it. He met his brother this year. He always grew up knowing he had a brother. And so that aspect, I'm like, I don't think my dad would ever have gotten to that point unless he knew me. And he knows me as his daughter, and what birth moms, me and my mom explained to him, like, you don't know anybody's story. Just like
right. When it
comes to abortion, you don't know anybody's story. So how can you judge them for a choice they make, regardless if they're pregnant? It's any human being. You don't know their life. So why do you get to make up their choices?
Yeah, no, I love that. And I love that you brought a different perspective as well when it comes to the whole adoption, because, you know, the common narrative for anyone, well, not for anyone, for let's just say a good amount of people that are pro-choice are, hey, adoption sucks. The kid's going to be messed up. You don't want to throw them in this vicious system. But it's like, okay, are we just focusing on just the negatives? And are we assuming that everyone that you know, is being put up for adoption is just going to be a train wreck? Like, I don't think that's good either. And I think when you look at more of, like you said, Anna, like situational, right? Like,
yeah.
One thing that you said, and maybe you can talk about this, that really hit home with me when we talked, I don't know, it was a year or two ago, when you were saying, I'm pro-life and I'm pro-choice. And I always thought to myself, I'm pro, you know, I, at the time I was pro-life, and I was like, you know what, that's actually a really good perspective. I'm like, I'm pro-life and pro-choice as well. And some people may say that definition is what pro-choice is, but just to unpack that, meaning I'm not for abortion. I would prefer that the child were to be born, but at the end of the day, if the mother decides that that is the best route, that they have that choice, and they can move forward with that, right? And so for me, it's like, yeah, I'm not pro, you know, once again, pro killing fetuses or babies, but I do want the choice to be given to the mother to make that decision. So if she decides to have the baby, great. If she doesn't have this, if she doesn't decide to have the baby, that's also fine. That's also great. It just depends on the individual, because once again, like you mentioned, you never know what someone's going through.
Yeah. And I think you don't, I'm pro-life and pro-choice in a same kind of sense, because I don't think that there's anything wrong with abortion whatsoever. No matter what, it's your choice. Science, it's a fetus, not a baby. And I think that where it gets lost in translation is, I think people think that Planned Parenthood and other abortion clinics are aborting babies who are, I don't know, like when you're 7 months along. And that, I think, is so wrong. Because in reality, like, when I called Planned Parenthood, they dialed down to how far along I would be the day of the appointment. And they were only go to 14 weeks. So even if you're a day over 14 weeks, that's a case-by-case scenario, and that's as far as we go. And at 14 weeks, I don't know. I just think that it's, again, situational. And if you can do it, great. If you can also live with the choice of adoption, and I think legally you have to be open to any decision.
Mm-hmm.
Because with adoption, you can legally have an open adoption, but that can be, that just means that they can get their birth records at any time, not just mm-hmm. when, but the adoptive couple can close it. Like, that information can be accessible, but they can also close it of, like, you don't get visitation, you don't get anything. Like, you don't get pictures, you don't get updates. And some people are that way.
Right.
I know a few birth moms who do have that situation, unfortunately. And I'm super blessed to not be in that situation. I get to see my son twice a year.
Mm-hmm.
Relationship with the parents and just their family. And I think you have to go into adoption open-minded of, okay, worst case scenario, I don't end up with any kind of visitation or anything.
Right. And
the hard situation, regardless if it's abortion or adoption, I think that adoption can be very beautiful. I think that it can also be one of the roughest things that anyone has to go through.
Right.
So really, it is a situational, and you have to know yourself, because I feel like when you know yourself, you're going to make the best decision for you, and that's all that matters.
Yeah. Yeah. And is it true? I mean, and I'm naive to this, just because I can't have kids and I haven't had any kids, but that for plant, it pretty much is rule. It's up to 14 weeks. Is that a rule that's still in place, or is that changed or trying to be changed?
No, I think still the rule. I think it also just depends if what kind of pregnancy it is.
Yeah. Right.
And what kind of kills me is when people look at abortion, like when someone is further along in their pregnancy and has to get an abortion or a miscarriage. It's not always just like everyone thinks that it's a vacuum. And I think that you just need to educate yourself in any sense of what medically actually happens, because mm-hmm. there's pills for miscarriages mm-hmm. to help you it, because sometimes you can't. And I know someone really close to me that happened. She had a miscarriage and went through a miscarriage for 8 weeks before she had to take the pill, and it was the worst experience of her life because she could not pass it on her own. And so technically she had an abortion to get rid of this non-viable fetus. And so, and when you're 7 months pregnant and end up with a stillborn, they're not vacuuming anything out of you. They're doing a C-section or putting you into labor so that you can give birth to this non-viable, non-living baby at that point. But
right.
Early on, I know that Planned Parenthood is still at 14 weeks.
Yeah. And I'll be honest, I mean, for me, and I don't, once again, I'm no expert in the growth of a fetus and what that looks like and everything. And obviously I could go online and check it out, but I think, yeah, I mean, just from a visual perspective, once the baby is fully formed or close to being fully formed, that's definitely, at least for me, let's just say if I were to get a girl pregnant, that's a very hard pill to swallow if, you know, she wanted to abort the baby, with it being, you know, fully formed or near fully formed. I mean, or technically, even if it wasn't fully formed, I mean, I don't have any kids, and obviously I would like to have kids. So that would still be tough, but at the end of the day, it is situational. And I really think it comes down to, I mean, just your personal view, because here's the thing. If you have a religious background, you know, like you and I have, right, Anna, that we grew up with, we no longer have it, but we had it growing up. And you're actually viewing it as something more than a fetus, right?
Yeah.
You know, in the LDS or Mormon sense, it's, you know, it contains a spirit from, you know, the preexistence of someone that is, on the cusp of experiencing life, and you're basically cutting off the ability of that spirit to come to the earth. If you're not Mormon, obviously it may sound kind of weird or creepy, but that's the reality. But if you see it from more of a, I guess you can call it scientific approach, or not putting any specific values on, like, I shouldn't say values, any specific religious spin on what a baby is or what a person is. It's like, hey, someone's like, you know what? Like, I am not ready to be a mother. And so therefore I'm aborting this baby, and they could regret it. They could not regret it. But at the end of the day, even if it is a tough pill to swallow, it's like, should they still have the legal right to do that? Of course. Right. Yes. Because even if it was, you know, let's just say my girlfriend, for example, and she was like, hey, Spencer, you know what? I was going to have the baby. I don't think I want to have it. I don't think I'm ready. Whatever. I'm going through some psychological issues, you know, whatever it may be. That would be very tough for me, and that would be very hard. And obviously I'm not carrying the baby or having it, but obviously I took part in creating it in a certain sense, for a short period of time, but
yeah.
But all jokes aside, it's like, she would still have that right. And I would still support her and be like, hey, you know what? Like, if this is what you're looking to do, if you feel like this is best, then, you know, do what you feel is best for you, because it's one of those things where it's something that's living off of you, growing inside you. And as much as it's, you know, let's just say our baby collectively as a couple, or, you know, some, you know, in a relationship, that I think is still important to still have that legal right. And that's very, very tough topic. And obviously, like I said, I don't think I would be ecstatic about somebody getting abortion 7 months into the pregnancy, but at the end of the day, I think they should still have that legal right, you know?
Yeah. And I think statistically, it's like, how many people are having abortions at 7 months?
Yeah, like, exactly. That's another thing as well. Yep.
Not happening. It's before the embryo becomes a fetus. Like,
right.
That's usually when it is. I think that forcing motherhood on people who are not ready, who have different situations, if it's rape, if it's incest, it's like, the reality is that's not best for the child, because incest, medically, there's so many issues that go on with incest babies. And then with rape, it's like, how can you force someone who went through a traumatic event to carry something forever, mm-hmm. that to do with that traumatic event. So
right.
It's so tough, and it's so hard to point out those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And be a woman and being told, like, I just think that it's so scary to be a human being right now, because being a woman and having your rights taken away, it's terrifying. I think even like birth control, like, yes, none of these things are happening, but it's also something that people of color have had to deal with, of their medical care and with just everything. Birth control, having different forms of birth control and having that being called murder because you're not having kids. Like, I don't want to pop out 10 kids, so I'm going to control what I can with my body. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. It's
tough.
It's such a controversial topic. And
yeah, and at the same time, I can definitely see, being a former religious person, I can definitely see and understand their perspective.
Yeah,
that for people, because I think it's like, I don't know, you know, you all can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's 70-80% of pregnancies come from consensual sex, right? It could be in the high 80s, low 90s. I don't know. I remember I saw something, but for sure it was above like 80%. But let's, you know, from the religious perspective, the thoughts are, hey, I'm religious, you know, whether you're Mormon or, you know, you're Muslim, you know, Jewish, whatever it may be, it doesn't matter. You know, anyone that's usually religious usually tends to be more on the pro-life because, you know, you're seeing the gift of life, right? The gift of life, a gift from God. It's such a life-changing experience for a couple to have kids that when somebody, you know, once again, this is coming from the person's perspective, is having sex, whether with protection or without protection, says, hey, you're having sex, so therefore you are kind of playing with fire. And so if you do get pregnant, you can't just cancel your problems by having an abortion. And, you know, if you're religious and if you grew up thinking that way, you know what, it can make a lot of sense from that perspective. But once again, I think that's a limited point of view, because, you know, at the end of the day, just because someone's having sex doesn't mean that they necessarily want to have kids, right? Now, once again, I like to even argue against myself and play devil's advocate. But yeah, you could say, okay, but if you're using protection, you know, most birth control and or condoms, I mean, they work extremely well. If somebody is taking birth control and or using condoms and someone gets pregnant, I mean, are they obligated to have that? I think that's kind of a ridiculous idea when you've taken every precaution to, excluding obviously having sex, you've taken every precaution to not have a kid, and then you have a kid, and then that person's telling you, oh, you need to have a kid because you guys were engaging in sex. It's like, really, guy, like, or girl, whatever. I was taking every precaution. I'm not, you know, going to be a nun unless, unless I want to have kids. And I think if that's the expectation, that's a very unrealistic expectation.
Well, and I think from a religious standpoint, and if you are pro-life because of religion, instead of just viewing everybody has a choice.
Right.
And makes it so black and white of, okay, you had sex, well, and you ended up pregnant, that's your natural consequence of you have to have the baby. And it's not that way. It's not that simple. It's not that black and white. It's
right,
so gray, that it's so hard to, I don't even want to say argue, but have your views sided with someone who is so closed-minded, because they only see it one way or the other, not somehow in between. And that's where I find it hard. And the people that I choose to like have in my life are people who are very open, because right. I'm open, and I feel like I'm open because I've had to deal with these things personally. And even if I didn't, I still am very devil's advocate like you are. And
yeah,
I understand that not everyone's the same. That's, and from a religious standpoint, that's the way God created us, is choice and accountability. It's like, okay, who's, like I said earlier, who's going to say that someone who chose to have an abortion is not going to live with that every single day?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a good call out. It brings it to the whole, for those who are familiar with the whole free agency conversation in a lot of Christianity, that like God gives you I'm agnostic, but anyways, God gives you free agency. So therefore, therefore everyone should have free agency, but it's like, but if the free agency goes against your own religious beliefs, then we should make laws and regulations to allow people to not live out that free agency. To me, that makes no sense. And that seems to be a thing here. Like I live in Utah, as you as well. And the church seems to influence a lot of the laws. I shouldn't even say seem. They do. It's a fact. They do influence a lot of the laws.
Yep.
And if we're really about, dumb example is alcohol. If, the church is, if you're LDS and you follow the commandments, you don't drink alcohol. But if somebody else wants to drink alcohol, and I don't even drink, it's not my thing, but if somebody else wants to drink alcohol, and should we limit their legal right or limit the availability of it because, we as a church feel that it's not good? I think that's ludicrous. You're trying to tell people, hey, you can do whatever you want, but we're going to make it really, really hard to do whatever you want. And it's like, you can argue that you're taking away someone's free agency.
A way to look at it too is, I just kind of laugh because it's different laws and stuff. And they're like, well, that's just like government laws. And I'm like, making a choice of someone's body is literally their God-given right. So if
right.
you're God and you're religious and you believe in free agency, you are literally, but you also believe in pro-life, it's like you are taking someone's God-given right away.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, and I know the arguments on their side are, well, it's not solely your body, right? They're saying it's your body plus the, someone else's body or someone else's, it's like it's you and the fetus, right? Mm-hmm. That if you let the fetus grow, it'll become a human just like you are. And so that's their argument. And I understand that argument, and it does make sense to a certain, point where it's like, hey, it's not just your body, it's someone else's. But at the same time, there's a lot that comes with that. It's like you mentioned, Anna, it's the motherhood, right? Are you ready to be a mother?
Yeah.
Mentally, financially, spiritually, if you're spiritual. And so as much as, yes, it is affecting somebody else that is at that point, unborn, it is affecting the unborn fetus, slash baby. There's more to it than just that, though, because, it comes with the health risks, and, you have many different ailments that can come from pregnancy, either, before having the baby or after having the baby. I'm kind of struggling to talk here, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. I think, too, it's so gray when you bring religion into it, because you have the death penalty, and like sometimes that's okay, sometimes it's not, and it's just so confusing
mm-hmm.
and fighting. It's just like, how about we just let people be people and make their own choices? And if you really believe in God, then you know that God knows your heart regardless of your religious standpoint or what you've done in your life. And maybe that's justifying it, but I think that that's how you have to live through life. You don't have certainties about everything. You go with life unknowingly, and you just figure it out as you go.
Right. And also, if it actually is, let's just say God, you know, let's just say from the Christian perspective, God does exist and he's totally against abortion. Let's just say that. Okay. Well, at the end of the day, you know, when that person dies, and assuming that God is real, God will obviously make the necessary judgment, right? As they say, like, only God can judge me. Okay. Yeah. So you know, that person has an abortion. God will judge him. But, you know, for the time being, we shouldn't take the right away from that person making that decision.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the reality of everything. It's like, obviously, there's laws about crime, but it's not a crime to choose what happens within your body. If you get tattoos, if you do drugs, if you take, like, drink alcohol, whatever, get plastic surgery, that's your choice. It's your body. And I think as parents, even if you're going to say that this embryo or this fetus can't choose, it's like you make choices every day for your kid without them knowing. And I think that people, like, disregard that that's what they're doing. You choose where they're going to go to school. You choose what religion they're going to go into. You're going to choose all this stuff, and they're not making the choice. And so I'm just, it's my own body. I'm going to do it. It's going to be what's best for me and maybe an embryo.
Yeah. And the funny thing is that, well, I shouldn't say funny, but the interesting thing is that, even with that perspective that you have, you decided, you know, for you, right, what's best for you and your, I guess, outlook on life and also mental, I would say, health to have the baby, right? To have the baby,
yep.
To give it up for adoption. You see your son, you know, 2 times a year and have a strong relationship with him.
Yeah.
And that's a beautiful thing because, you know, one could argue, once again, someone that's extremely religious, hey, well, it's not going to be the same as if, you know, he won't be as happy or because, you know, he's got, you know, 3 parents versus, you know, a nice, strong family. And you can make those dumb arguments all day long. But at the end of the day, it's like a game of, you know, it's like you you play the cards that you've been dealt, right?
Yeah.
Based on the choices you make. And let's just say, okay, yeah, and not speaking to you, but for the people that are going out and not being safe and wearing protection during sex, obviously that's a situation that they can still choose because it's their own life and they can do what they want. And if they do get pregnant, you know, it's one of those things where, yeah, do I want, does the girl or the guy in the relationship want to abort the baby? Maybe not. But if they chose that, despite them being, despite them not wearing protection or despite them, you know, kind of sleeping around, that's still their choice, you know? And, you know, obviously it's not the ideal scenario, but at the same time, you can argue what's an ideal scenario. Life's crazy. We're all emotional animals running around on a little marble in the middle. You know what I mean? We're little parasites on a marble, you know, floating through the galaxies. And we think we know what life's about. We think we know the answer to things. At the end of the day, I think no one knows shit when it comes to the meaning of the universe, the meaning of life and morals. And all we got to do is live our lives the best that we can and realize that we have one life to live and optimize as much as we can, you know?
Yeah. And I think when you're emotionally aware, and I just look at this situation, like, could I have been a mom? 100%. I could have. But I look at what I've been through in the last 7 years, and I'm just like, I did what was best for him. I don't believe it's the right thing to do, because I don't believe like right and wrong. I think that there's a good choice or there's the best choice. And the best choice was giving my son up for adoption and letting him be happy, be happy, secure with his family. And I do get to see him, and it's just more people to love him than just me. And he gets to live the life that he wants to. And now as an adult and that I've been through this experience, I can look at like, you know what? Now I'm ready to be a mom, and I'm secure in myself. I'm secure in a relationship, the things that I want personally before I have a family. And I have all those things.
Mm-hmm.
And there's never a perfect time to have a kid, even if you feel secure, because it is a brand new learning experience. But I think just knowing yourself is what really matters when it comes to choices. So that's my standpoint on everything.
Yeah, no, I love it. I love it. And I hope everyone that's listening also loves it, because I think a common misconception, and given there are people out there that, you know, fall within any spectrum, but I think a common misconception is pro-choice equals like pro-abortion, right? Yeah. And some people I've actually seen like on TikTok and stuff, there's some people that are actually pro-abortion. I think that's kind of a, I'm very confused by that stance, but I think let's be honest, I think a lot of them are just doing that to just, you know, it's just kind of, you know, clickbait stuff to trigger people to get into a debate or conversation. But you know, with the pro-choice, it's not pro-killing babies, you know, or fetuses. It's just giving the person the opportunity to say yay or nay. Yes, I'm going to move forward with the baby, or no, I'm not. And the reasons could be endless. The reasons could be, you know, it could be terrible reasons according to somebody else looking from afar. But at the end of the day, if that person or that couple or whatever doesn't feel ready or whatever it may be, or made a mistake or was in the heat of the moment, they should still have the legal right to be able to do that. Now, if you don't agree with that, that's fine. You don't have to agree with it. You don't have to necessarily say, hey, I want somebody to abort their baby. But that doesn't mean, though, that we should take away the legal right. And obviously, as you know, Roe v. Wade being overturned doesn't make abortions legal. It just gives the rights back to the states, where the states can say, hey, it's legal here, or it's not legal here. But of course, you know, depending on the person's financial situation, where they live, what things look like, they may not have the resources to go to another state to have that abortion. And I think that's where people are so concerned, not only because they might have the resources, but also they saw it as a step back, where it's like, hey, yes, the states still have the choice. And that's obviously why states were created. They have their individual laws. And if you don't like the laws there, you can go to another state. But federally removing that seems like a step back, because the federal government tends to when they tend to put laws into place, it tends to affect the states towards that direction. For example, the feds may consider making recreational marijuana legal. And if they do, it's almost going to, you know, it's going to be very quick where the states basically, you know, countrywide are going to make recreational marijuana legal. And so it is actually a win when the feds jump on board, because the states tend to follow, you know?
Yep. Unless you live in Utah.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm surprised we even got medicinal marijuana, you know, was it like 2 or 3 years ago? That actually really surprised me. But, yeah. But yeah, but no, Anna, I mean, honestly, I really appreciate you. I really appreciate you taking the time to share your experience. And I think for those that are listening that are religious or pro-life, because I don't want to assume that everyone that's pro-life is religious, but is that it's not that, like I said, I'm pro-life and pro-choice, and Anna is pro-life and pro-choice, and it's not an either or. And like I said, I know that there are some people that maybe are pro-abortion, but those are few and far between. But I think at the end of the day, forget pro-life and pro-choice. It's just that, do you believe an individual should have the right to abort a baby / fetus if they don't want to go forward with the baby? Yeah. Whether it's financial reasons, religious reasons, you know, spiritual reasons, you name it. Do you believe fundamentally that another human being should have the right to be able to have an abortion? And I think you got to really ask yourself that question, because even though you may believe it's evil, and even though you may believe that every God's child should come to this earth, that's fine. You can still believe that. But do you believe that we should take away the free agency, the right for somebody else to not make that decision for themselves?
And I think it's not to bash anyone's religion or their politically. It's also just, can you see that the world is not black and white, that it is full of gray areas, that it's full. There's so many things, so many situations that we don't even know of.
Totally.
So
yeah, it's just, it's a black box, right? You know, the moment, for anyone out there, including myself, anyone out there that thinks they understand life and the meaning of life, you still have a lot of learning to do. Because, you know, the smartest people in the world, the most experienced people when it comes to whichever field or craft or hobby that they do, they will tell you, even in their own, even as an expert in their field, that they really don't know anything, and they just know more, a little bit more than somebody else. And so let's not assume that we know better than others, and just try to live our lives to the best of our abilities, and to respect other people's free agency to do what they want, you know, according to what's best for them and their body and their families. Yeah, I really appreciate you guys jumping on here today. Hope you enjoyed today's topic. Anna, really appreciate you jumping on here today.
Thanks for having me.
It was a great conversation. I really appreciate you opening up and sharing. I know this is not something you go around advertising to people, and that you shared with me, you know, 1 to 2 years ago, which was awesome, because it was unexpected, but it really changed my perspective from being more about letting people to have their own free agency. And even if I believe, as a person that used to be pro-life, that people can make their own decisions, and that it's such a hard decision. And that even though, you know, let's just say my cousin wants to have an abortion, even though maybe I'm not ecstatic about it, I still should support them in that right, and that making that decision. And I can't deal what they're going through. And yeah. So, if you guys enjoy this podcast, please share it with your friends, your family, people either on the fence, pro-choice, pro-life, people pro-choice, people pro-life, it doesn't matter. We just want to have an open conversation and give perspectives on how we can love each other and better understand how to navigate this divisive world, and how polarizing it's been. And we will see you guys next time. All right, guys, Spence's Two Cents. We will talk to you soon.